ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 30, Text 45.
Tatogni Marutau Rajan Amunchan Mukato Rusha Mahim Nirvirudham Kartum Samvartaka Iva Atyaye Tatogni Maruta Rajan Amunshan Mukkato Rusha Mahim Nir Virudham Kartum Sangvartaka Ivatyaye Tatogni Maruta Rajan Amunchan Mukkato Rusha Mahim Nir Virudham Kartum Sangvartaka Ivatyaye Tataha
Thereafter
Agni Fire Marutau and air. Rajan, O king. Amunshan, they emitted. Mukhataha, from their mouths. Rusha, out of anger. Mahim, the earth. Nirvirudham, treeless. Kartum, to make. Samvartakaha, the fire of devastation. Iva, like. Achyaye, at the time of devastation. This recitation of the Sanskrit verses and the word-for-word meanings is one of the standards that Srila Prabhupada set for our classes in Srimad Bhagavatam. When I first joined, we would just read, and there was no, the system that we have now was not yet in place. We would just read Bhagavatam. But in the maybe early 1970s, around 1970, Srila Prabhupada systematized things. And he taught us how to hold the Bhagavatam class by chanting Radha Madhav, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, reciting these Sanskrit verses and repeating the word-for-word meanings. The verses, Sanskrit verses, even if we don't understand them, will act to purify our hearts. Even if we don't understand the language, the vibration will act. And apart from that, the presence of the transliterations gives us the opportunity to study the verses, to memorize the verses, and the word-for-word meanings give us the opportunity to go deeply into the original text. Perhaps you know that when the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, was first published by the Macmillan Company, that company, for their own economic considerations, wanted to and did cut many of the purports, and they also cut out the original Devanagari text, the original transliterations, and the word-for-word meanings. So that was something Srila Prabhupada wasn't very happy with, and therefore, in the preface to the unabridged edition, when it finally came out, Srila Prabhupada mentioned it. He said the book was unfortunately cut short, without illustrations, without explanations for most of the original verses. In all of my other books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Ishopanishad, etc., the system is that I give the original verse, its English transliteration, word for word, Sanskrit, English equivalents, translations, and purports. This makes the book very authentic and scholarly and makes the meaning self-evident. I was not very happy, therefore, when I had to minimize my original manuscript. So including all of these elements that Srila Prabhupada included in his books is an important responsibility for his publishers. And maintaining all of the standards that Srila Prabhupada gave us is an important responsibility for all of his disciples and followers. That's why the BBT in the publishing department takes the responsibility for maintaining these standards very carefully, and why all responsible devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement should see to maintaining Srila Prabhupada's standards very carefully, maintaining the standards that he established very carefully within their own individual areas of responsibility. Translation. My dear King, at the time of devastation, Lord Shiva emits fire and air from his mouth out of anger. To make the surface of the earth completely treeless, the Prachetas also emitted fire and air from their mouths. Purport. In this verse, Vidura is addressed as Rajan, which means O King. In this regard, Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that a dhira never becomes angry because he's always situated in devotional service. Advanced devotees can control their senses. Therefore, a devotee can be addressed as Rajan. A king controls and rules in various ways among citizens. Similarly, one who can control his senses is the king of his senses. He is a swami or goswami. The swamis and goswamis are therefore sometimes addressed as Maharaj or king.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalang, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Shagrajatam, Shahagana Raganatan, Vitamstam Sajivam, Shadvaitam Savatutam, Parijana Sehitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padhan, Shahagana Radita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Tatogni Maruto Rajan Amunchan Mukato Rusha Mihim Nirvirudham Kartum Samvartaka Ivachaye.
Coming out from the water, the Prachetas saw that the earth had been overrun by trees. It had become the planet of the trees. So they became angry, and from their mouths they emitted fire and air, Agni Maruto. When you have fire, you need air. And in fact, the way that you build a fire and really get it blazing is you get the air going. In stoves, there's always an arrangement for allowing air to come in and even increasing the amount when you want to raise the temperature of the stove. So the air acts in combination with the fire. Similarly, when there are forest fires, the firefighters most dread is that the wind will rise, because then the wind will stir up the fire. So deliberately, or intentionally, the Prachetas emitted fire and air from their mouths so that there would be a conflagration, a great fire. Mihim nivirudham kartum. They were so angry at the trees for overstepping their rightful boundaries and overrunning everything that they decided to make the whole earth devoid of trees, nirvirudham. Samvartaka ivachaye. So as Lord Shiva begins a fire of devastation at the appropriate time for destroying the universe, the Prachetas emitted this fire and air. They started a conflagration to extinguish, to exterminate the trees. Rusha, they did it out of anger. And anger is a problem. Kama krodha tata lobhas tasmareta trayam chijet. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanha. These are described as three gateways to hell. Kama, lust, lobha, greed, and krodh, anger. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that from anger comes complete bewilderment. Moha means bewilderment, and sammoha, utter bewilderment, complete bewilderment. Krodhat bhavati sammohat, and sammohat smriti vibhrama. From bewilderment comes loss of memory. I forget who I am and why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do and what the laws are and who these people are and what, everything just gets lost. Anger comes on in a rush. The word is rusha. It's onomatopoetic. Rush. It comes on like a
rush. And one becomes bewildered, one forgets, smriti, brahmshad, buddhi, nasho. And in that forgetfulness, then the next thing is that intelligence is out the window, lost. And buddhi, nashat, pranashati. Then one is finished. Dhyayato vishayam pumsang. It begins, this sequence begins by meditating on something relevant to sense gratification, or meditating on something in the mood of sense gratification. Dhyayato vishaya apumsam sangasteshu pajayate. Then one becomes associated with that. Sangat sanjayate kama. Then by that association, lust arises. Kamat krodho vijayate. Then anger. And anger is even more difficult to control than lust. When Parvati was trying to agitate Lord Shiva for sex enjoyment, Cupid was doing his part by shooting flower arrows. But Lord Shiva is the archetype of dhira, of a sober person. So even though Parvati was there, a young, beautiful girl, and she was offering flowers on the genitals of Lord Shiva to arouse his amorous desires, still Lord Shiva couldn't be provoked to lust. But he became so angry that he burned Cupid to ashes. So anger is even more difficult than lust. It's like the further development in the chain. All of these items are progressively more difficult to deal with. Jayato, it begins in transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, which was put together from lectures. Prabhupada says that material entanglement begins when we see a girl and we think, she's nice. That's jayata. We see a young woman, we see a young man, and we think, not bad. And then meditating, and then from that, hi. Are you from around here? Or whatever. Association. First association in the mind, then actual association. Then kama develops, lust, and away we go. Buddhinashat pranashati, finally. So, tasmareta trayam tyajet. Therefore, Lord Krishna says one has to give up greed, lust, and anger, which is very difficult. They're very persistent. So Narottam Das Thakur comments on this. He has a song, and he mentions that these are all tough customers to deal with. They're all difficult problems for the conditioned soul. But they can be overcome by engaging them in Krishna's service. And he explains how that can be done. Kama Krishna Karmarpane. All right, there's some desire. So I'll use that desire to, I'll desire to satisfy Krishna. The Mayavadis want to become desireless, to cut down desire and be free from, that's their desire, along with the desire to become liberated and become God. But Narottam Das Thakur says, I'll desire to act for the benefit of Krishna, for the satisfaction of Krishna. Krishna, karma, kamarpane. Yes, kama, Krishna, karmarpane.
My desire will be, how can I act to satisfy Krishna? Then that's better. If I try to become desireless, desire more will keep coming back. Prabhupada gives the example, if you have an empty glass in an atmosphere where there's ink, the ink will start to fill up the glass. But if the glass is already filled with milk, then no ink can enter. If it's half full, then that's another story. But if it's filled, no ink can enter. So the Buddhists are very interested in emptiness. Empty the mind, empty. But the devotees are not like the Mayavadis, emptiness or void or no desire. There must be desire because we're living beings. But that desire should be engaged for activities dedicated to Krishna. Then that desire becomes pure. Then you can desire unlimitedly. We can desire unlimitedly to be engaged in the service of Krishna. And krodha bhakta dveshi jane, I'll direct my anger against those who are envious of Krishna's devotees. Srila Prabhupada was not devoid of anger. There was one incident, it's mentioned in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, where here in India, Prabhupada was holding a program with some of his foreign disciples and doing kirtan on the stage, and one badmash, one rogue Indian fellow began like tugging on the sari of one of the ladies. And so gross, like. And Prabhupada took out his kartals and began swinging them at the guy like a weapon. Immediately. He was not placid. All right, we'll watch everything. He became angry. I was at a program in Boston at a major university. Prabhupada spoke before a large audience, and then we had another room where we could mix with people and distribute prasadam and books and so on. So Prabhupada had finished his lecture. We were all in that outside room speaking with the guests, and all of a sudden this wave went through the room. You know how when something happens, everybody so this wave went through the room. And I asked the, you know, what happened? What's going on? Here's what had happened. Prabhupada was talking with one Indian gentleman, a professor, I believe. And the man was going on and on, everything is one, everything is one, everything is one, everything is one. And whatever Prabhupada said, he's got some foolish answer. Finally, Srila Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt and said, if everything is one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? Oh, Swamiji is becoming angry. Damn right. Toward those who are envious of Krishna's devotees or envious of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada could become angry, like fire with air. Another famous incident took place in Los Angeles where some devotees were selectively reading portions of Srila Prabhupada's books so that they could focus exclusively on Raskata and Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. And they said that they didn't want to be diverted to anything less such as the relationship of Krishna with the cowherd boys or Mother Yashoda. And Prabhupada was so furious. There was like the fire of devastation. The one symptom, physical symptom, when Prabhupada was very angry, his lower lip would begin to tremble very strongly. And then it would go on from there, of course. Prabhupada was angry. How dare you? How dare you be so audacious as to minimize the transcendental position of devotees like Yashoda Mayi, the cowherd boys. Krita Punya Punja, after thousands and thousands of births of pious activities, these fortunate souls are playing with Krishna as cowherd boys. And what to speak of Mother Yashoda? Prabhupada was furious that these fools are misusing my books, misunderstanding everything, and focusing on Krishna consciousness in the manner of the sahajiyas, the cheap devotees who don't follow the standard process as set forth by Srila Rupa Goswami and our line of acharyas. Prabhupada could become exceedingly angry. And Narottam Das Thakur also says, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. The devotees are more dear to Krishna than anything. In the third canto, Lord Narayan says, I'll lop off my right arm for the sake of my devotees. When the Jai and Vijay had their encounter with the Kumaras, Lord Narayan appeared on the scene. And he said, I would give my right arm for my devotees. Offenses to himself the Lord may tolerate, but not offenses to his devotees. As a man can tolerate hot sun on his head, but not hot sand on his feet, the Lord doesn't tolerate offenses to his pure devotees. Devotees, period. So, krodha bhakta dveshi jane. To those who are envious of the devotees, I'll use my anger against them, Narottam Das Thakur says. So, now we've engaged kama and krodha, and what about lobh, greed? Lobha sadhu sangha. Lobha sharushanga harikata. I'll become greedy for the association of devotees and harikata, hearing topics about Krishna or speaking topics about Krishna. I'll be eager to associate with devotees, not eager, greedy to associate, to get that association of genuine devotees. Sadhu Sangha. And Harikatha, I'll be greedy to speak the topic spoken by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, or spoken about the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam, or to hear those topics in the association of devotees. Greed is all right. That greed. Not greed, more money, more power, more position, more women, more this, more that. This greed, to have the association. Tandira charana shevi bhakta shani bash. Janame janame more eyabhinash. My desire is that I can have the, that I can serve the lotus feet of the Goswamis and be always situated in the association of the devotees. Tandura charana sebi bhakta shanibas. Janame janame more abhilash. I'm not eager to get liberation and merge with God, and or tanam janam sundarim, to get money, to get followers, to get beautiful women, or even to get liberation. Even birth after birth, if I can be engaged in the association of devotees and engaged in the service of the previous acharyas, then I'll be satisfied. Kam, krodh, lobha, mada, moha. Moha means bewilderment. Moha ishta labha bine. I'll be bewildered if I can't get the association of Krishna. Moha. I'll consider that. I'll be mad after that association. And yes, mada Krishna gunagane. Now madness, actually. Mada. Mada Krishna gunagane. I'll be like a madman to describe the qualities of Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Sanatana Goswami, he was describing the Atmarama verse in so many different ways, this meaning, that meaning, this meaning, that meaning. Then finally he said, I've become like a madman. So many different meanings. He also said that when he met Prakashananda Saraswati, that Prakashananda Saraswati said that you appear to be a nice sannyasi. So what are you doing? Instead of studying Vedanta Sutra, which is the real duty of a sannyasi, you're chanting and dancing with these sentimental people? Maharaj, what are you doing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what can I do? My spiritual master ordered me to chant this mantra. And the result of my chanting was that I became like a madman. I was just chanting, and I wanted to chant and dance, and then tears were falling from my eyes, and I was feeling all these weird symptoms in my body. So I went to my Guru Maharaj. I said, what is this? You gave me this mantra, now I'm chanting, and it seems that I'm going crazy. The spiritual master said, no, this is very nice. These are the symptoms of love for Krishna. So, mada Krishna gunagane. To become mad after hearing and describing the transcendental qualities of Krishna engages madness. Everyone is more or less mad in the material world. They may be going on with a veneer of sanity, but they're all more or less madmen. Yes, some of the most sane, the people who appear most sane are the most mad. Generally, they get elected to public office. So, madness is very difficult to stamp out. But that madness can be engaged in being mad after Krishna. Prabhupada said that one time, talking about, you know, all of the duties that we do, and he said, we should never forget our real business, which is to be mad after Krishna. Anandena sam mohito, and the Goswamis, we were bewildered by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So in this way, all of these qualities, otherwise so destructive, should be engaged in the service of Krishna, and that will make our life successful. Hare Krishna. What questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada, he showed this anger, but immediately he can go back to his normal because he's very self-controlled.
Yes, that was also seen. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would just show anger. Some disciple would do something foolish and Prabhupada would give him an angry blast. And then the disciple would stumble out of the room. And then Prabhupada would go back to his poor nervousness.
So
that sometimes anger was displayed for the benefit of the disciple.
How can we develop this? Because sometimes also, even if we go back, like say, become angry, and then we go back to normal, but the other devotee may think that we're still angry.
Well, one thing is that anger is best not directed against other devotees. Prabhupada, what was it he said about that? He wrote one letter to Jadarani. It's very good that you, like, something to the effect you want to kill the demons, but better leave that to your godbrothers. Something like that. Anyway, the anger should be directed against those who are bhakta dveshi. Krodha bhakta dveshi jane. Not krodha bhakta jane. The anger directed against those who act as enemies of the devotees, those who oppose the devotees. But if the anger is all inner directed within our community, that can be quite destructive to oneself and to others. Now, a certain amount of anger is actually helpful. This is not from Shastra, but it's from Lokik Vidya, ordinary academic studies. Tight-knit groups tend to value harmony. They place a great, great value on harmony and on togetherness and oneness. Because they're against the whole world. So that tight group places a very, very high value on agreement and working together in consensus and harmony and oneness. And that's good, but one result of that is the group therefore suppresses disagreement. Because disagreement or conflict is seen as harmful to the group's interest. If we're all fighting with one another, how will we deal with the outsiders? So the group discourages that disagreement, discourages that conflict, keeps it down, keeps it down, keeps it down. But the result is that grudges develop. I'm angry at you, but because it's against our principles, I'm not going to blast you. And I'm just going to remember it. And next time I'm angry at you, I'll do the same thing. I'm going to start piling up all of these causes of anger at you or them or whoever. And the result is that one day it will all burst out, and then it'll be like a tectonic shift, you know, like when there's an earthquake. Whereas in the groups that don't place such a high value on harmony and that aren't so concerned about conflict, you know, we just let off a little steam here, a little steam there, and that's kind of the end of it. So a certain amount of conflict is actually healthy. A certain amount of disagreement, a certain amount of even blowing off steam is normal and healthy. But then, as you say, then later the devotees get together, they offer obeisances to one another, and they kiss and make up, as we say in America. So we shouldn't be seriously angry at the devotees. We should appreciate that the devotees are all engaged in Krishna's service. They're all very dear to Krishna. But even among the devotees, there may be sometimes disagreement about devotional service, and there may be some angry exchange. But that should not be, cultivated. or escalated. It should not be become atomic in its proportions, atomic in the sense of atomic bombs. It should become atomic the other way. It's very small. Is that okay? Yes. Okay, the microphone has a mind of its own wherever it goes.
Thank you for under
this is Vrindavan, where even the microphones are sentient. Yes.
Whereas, as Srila Prabhupada says, that due to a rebellious mentality towards Krishna, or we wanted to enjoy separately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so for that reason, the spirit soul are placed into this world of matter. So, how does our lust get satisfied when soul comes in contact with this matter? Because the soul has its different nature, anandamaya bhasha, and the body is different. So how does our lust get satisfied?
It doesn't. How does lust get satisfied? It never gets satisfied. As long as lust is directed materially, it will never be satisfied. It's insatiable. That's the verdict of the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. So people are trying to satisfy their lust, and they're unsuccessful. They try this, they try that, they do it this way, they do it that way, again and again, and they're increasingly dissatisfied. So lust will only be satisfied when we follow in the footsteps of Narottam Das Thakur, Kama Krishna Karma, when we become very lusty to please Krishna, very full of desire to please Krishna. Otherwise, not possible.
So where does it remain? Means, you know, gross body or subtle body, or actually it's very difficult to figure it out.
Adhishthanam, no, not Adhishthanam. Where is that in the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
Indriyani manobudhir adhyadhishthanam uchate. Where is it to be found, lust? Indriyani in the senses, mano in the mind, buddhi in the intelligence. The lust takes up strategic positions in these locations. It invades the intelligence, it invades the senses, it invades the mind, and contaminates everything. So that has to be all redirected toward Krishna. Desire, lust means desire. That desire has to be re-established in its proper position, in its proper nature. Just like the Vrajbasis, they're intensely desiring to please Krishna. That is the right, that's healthy desire. The diseased desire will not be satisfied. Ever. Something else? Let's see where the microphone goes. Over in this direction, I think.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. So, my question is that how to feel the presence of our spiritual master, our Srila Prabhupada, in our life more nearly.
Follow his instructions. The person who follows the instructions will feel the presence of the spiritual master in his life. The person who disobeys or neglects the orders of the spiritual master will find it increasingly difficult. Therefore, in chanting Hare Krishna, one of the offenses to avoid is disobeying or neglecting the orders of the bona fide spiritual master. And on the other hand, by following, one lives eternally with the spiritual master. That was in the dedication to Srimad Bhagavatam. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him.
Maharaj, instructions means, can it be more ground level? Means instructions of spiritual master. Okay, but how it is in practical life, instructions in the
instructions means instructions. Just like no gambling, no intoxication, no meeting, no illicit sex, chant 16 rounds a day, get up early in the morning,
attend the Mangalarti, do this, do that. There's so many instructions. It's not like, well, he never gave me any instructions. There's so many instructions. And when we follow those instructions, Krishna will give us more instructions. Tesham satatajuktanam padatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te tesham evanukam partam. Is that okay? One has to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada said this is the secret of success in spiritual life. And to do that, one has to follow his instructions. Simple. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. In one of his books of Prabhupada, he has also mentioned that his anger pollutes the whole body. Now, when you talk about pollution of the body, does it directly affect the devotional service which you render to the Lord? And when Prabhupada used to get angry, I mean, he was a great man.
Actually, we don't even say man. Man is reserved for the ordinary people.
This, when you talk about pollution of the body, what exactly does it mean?
Prabhupada gave the example. It's said that Lord Shiva is present when there's intense anger. When there's intense, all sorts of intensities, like when there's thunder and lightning in the sky, then Lord Shiva is present. This is third canto. And when there's anger, Lord Shiva is present. So you can see how it affects the body. Someone becomes angry, and he just like, sometimes he punches a window out, or he kicks the door. Why is he doing that? What's, you know, then he looks at his hand and it's all bloody, or his foot is like hurting. But this is what happens. We start even just like the limbs take on a life of them of their own, and they start doing this and that. So these are signs of anger, and sometimes it becomes out of anger, a person, you know, shoots his wife, shoots her husband. Those who are in the criminology department know that the, you know, we're talking about violence and, you know, the Muslims and the non-Muslims and the terrorists and, you know, all this stuff. The main site of violence is the home. Domestic violence trumps all the other forms of violence. The homicides and all of that, most of them have their origin in domestic disputes. Violence is there. So that happens, that a person, they married for sense gratification, and each one wants to be the enjoyer, but they can't enjoy because there is no such thing as material enjoyment, and therefore they're dissatisfied, and then they become angry. And then out of anger, they become bewildered. Out of bewilderment, they forget everything. And the next thing is they're standing over their dead family with a gun in their hand, crying, "What did I do? I shot my wife." Anger. Their whole existence became polluted. Therefore, one of the engagements of the saintly person is bhavasamshuddhi. Avayam bhavasamshuddhi. Bhavasamshuddhi means purification of one's existence. That means to come tata, what is that? Tata rajas tatamo bhava kamalo padayascha ye chete taranavitam stitam sattve prasidati. By hearing Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, the result should be that passion and ignorance dwindle. And along with passion and ignorance, the signs or the concomitant symptoms, kama lobha dayasya, kam krodh lobh mada moha, anger, lust, bewilderment, stittam sattva, and one comes to the platform of goodness in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question?
I was particularly mentioning about pollution of the body. Does it mean that especially the characteristic of Uttamadhikari is that he has got a lot of sense of tolerance, which I presume it's also directed, it's also concerns anger also, control of the anger.
But yes, he controls, the saintly person controls all of these things, but still he can become angry for Krishna. Krodha bhakta dvishajane, he becomes angry. And then the same signs may appear, you know, that his limbs are trembling and he can't sit and go back to his translation or his intellectual work. And the mind is disturbed. Those signs may be there. But then you say, oh, he's getting angry. He's just like everybody else. Because they take it that just being peaceful is the most, that's the sign of a saintly person. And it is a sign of a saintly person. He doesn't become angry over small provocations, but he can become angry.
Thank you.
Hanuman is the example. He became so angry at Ravana, they practically burned the city of Lanka. He wasn't peaceful. He didn't say, well, anyway, he stole Sita, but, you know, everybody's got problems. Everybody's... And he became angry.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Where
Maharaj,
are you? Yes.
As you rightly said that Kam Krishna Karmarpane. And then we have to engage the lust in the service of, that means the desires in the service of the Lord. We see in this world that it is mentioned in the scripture also that the topmost desire or the lust is that the enjoying between man and woman, it is mentioned there. So in case of brahmachari and sannyasis, how do they engage their lust in the service of Krishna?
How do brahmacharis and sannyasis engage their lust in the service of Krishna? By developing intense desire to serve Krishna. When he says that I'll engage my lust in Krishna's service, it doesn't mean I'll have lots and lots of sex. That also can be engaged in the service of Krishna, dharma viruddha, if it's not according against dharma. It's not that I can have recreational sex with contraceptive devices with my Krishna conscious husband or wife, and that's kama Krishna arpan. That's illicit sex. So when he says I'll engage my lust for the service of Krishna, it means either according to the regulative principles in household or life, or it means, and this is the meaning that Prabhupada gives when he explains this verse, it means I'll develop an intense desire to serve Krishna. And when that desire is strong, the other desires are fall by the wayside. The example is Haridas Thakur. The prostitute came to entice him. Yes, let me finish my rounds and then we can enjoy. Because he was so engaged in the service of the holy name, he had no time for ordinary lust. He had an intense desire to chant and serve. So the other desire had no entry point.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very, very much for your...
Just let me add one more thing. Still, desires appear in brahmachari life, sannyas life. Prabhupada said, still some desire may appear. It's not that when you put on saffron cloth, then all the desires say, oh, there's a guy in saffron, we'll go on to the next guy. But the brahmachari life, sannyas life, means that even if a desire is there, one doesn't attend to it. That, oh, a desire has appeared, I have to honor it. All right, because I'm a conditioned soul, because I have this body, some desire has come. But that desire has to be controlled. All right. Agama apayano nityas. Thumbs to tiksha surprise. Okay, it came, it'll go. Like itching. If one tolerates the itching sensation, it comes and it goes. But if one scratches and scratches, the itch grows and grows, and then you have a serious problem. So in brahmachari life, sannyas life, all right, some desire has come. Nonsense, rubbish. Therefore, the mind deserves to be beaten 100 times with a shoe, 100 times with a broomstick. And I have to know that this is the symptom of my conditioned life. How seriously I have to be engaged, therefore, in Krishna's service so that I won't fall prey to these desires. Is that okay? Yeah.
Maharaj, what I understood from your class today, that the solution that you gave for anger is Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane.
That's one solution.
Yes. So
there's another solution also. Prabhupada was asked one time, my godbrother Rupanuga Prabhu once asked, you know, is there some hint what to do when anger, you know, rushes on? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can think of Lord Nrisimhadev. He said, you're only a little angry. Lord Nrisimhadev is unlimitedly angry. Yes, go ahead.
This is what Maharaj, I was asking, that practically when the anger comes, and since we are living with devotees, it tends to come out upon devotees itself. We can't go around looking for a Bhakta Dveshi at that time and take out the anger on him. So what I wanted, a little more practical.
Go out before you reach that stage. Don't sit in the temple wasting your time in small petty affairs and getting angry with the devotees. Go out. I can say that as a practical thing. Sometimes we see that in temples where there's not active book distribution and active preaching, the devotees have no proper engagement, and then what will they do but argue with one another about this, about that, about this, about that, and then they can get on the internet and broadcast the infamy of this one or that one. Whereas if they were out there distributing books, out there spreading Krishna consciousness, this opportunity for becoming angry with the other devotees wouldn't arise. And when they come back to the temple, they would introduce an atmosphere of more elevated Krishna consciousness by their practical experience, instead of sitting in the temple getting stagnant. And it's like stagnant water, you know, stagnant water gives off bad smells and pollution. So before you reach that stage of just getting angry at the other devotees you're working with, get out. Get out and preach.
So Maharaj, you mean to say if calm is properly engaged in Krishna's service, the anger will not come. That is like a prevention to anger.
Yeah.
So Maharaj, I also wanted to know, is there any way when actually anger comes, we couldn't prevent it, and anger does come?
Then I've given what Prabhupada said, if it comes, then you remember Lord Nrisimhadev.
Okay.
Just like Prabhupada said, if lust comes, then you can think about Krishna and the gopis. Because Krishna, you're a little lusty, he's unlimitedly lusty. Similarly, Lord Nrisimhadev is unlimitedly angry. And when you remember Lord Nrisimhadev, then your own pollution, your own maya, dissipates.
Yaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikar. Wherever there's Lord Nrisimhadev, there can't be Maya.
And Maharaj, can you also suggest something post anger? If suppose we happen to get angry on someone, then how to?
Well, if that's that anger, especially if it's a devotee, then you apologize, you make up, you offer obeisances, you offer some gift, you try and reestablish. And in all human dealings, when there's anger and the parties are in a committed relationship of some sort, then they try to make up. The wife says, I'm sorry. The husband buys her flowers. Right? The friend does a favor for the friend. Just to say that, okay, there was some anger, but that's superficial. We have a very deep relationship, and the anger is not a serious thing. So please don't mind. I'm sorry that I got angry with you. So the same thing amongst the devotees.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Shall we stop there?
Yes.
Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.